Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
And now for the local news roundup. Man arrested for burning down his own car. A 21-year-old Odessa man is facing an arson charge after video surveillance caught him setting the inside of a car on fire in late September, according to an Odessa Police Department report. Odessa Fire Rescue was dispatched to a DK convenience store on North Dixie Boulevard and 52nd Street about a car fire around 6:20 a.m. When officers arrived, they found a Ford Taurus completely burned against the south wall of the store. The officers retrieved a video surveillance footage from a nearby smoker's outlet and saw a man stumbling in the parking lot and throwing unknown items onto the roof of the outlet, according to the report. They also saw the same man ignite a fire inside the Taurus before exiting the car and leaving the scene, the report stated. Officers identified Lee Anthony Juarez as the man on the footage. According to the report, Juarez initially denied owning a white car, but then admitted he owned it after relatives told officers he owned a white Ford Taurus, and he told them it had broken down at the DK at 57th Street and Dixie. Juarez also admitted he intentionally started the fire by igniting a towel with gasoline residue on it, the report stated. Juarez was arrested Saturday on suspicion of arson, a second-degree felony punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. He remains in the Ector County Jail on a $25,000 surety bond. Man accused of 6 counts of aggravated assault. An Odessa man is facing half a dozen aggravated assault charges after his neighbors told police he chased three boys and then pulled a gun when questioned about the incident. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers received a 911 call from the 1000 block of Graham Avenue about a man with a gun around 8 p.m. Sunday. When they arrived, they spoke with a man who said Logan Perry, 28, chased his 12-year-old son and two of his friends to his family's apartment. The boy's father told officers he went to Perry's apartment to ask him what had happened, and Perry smelled like alcohol and appeared to be drunk. The boy's father said Perry ran inside the apartment, grabbed a gun, pointed it at him, his wife, his son, and three other boys, ages 12 and 13, threatened to shoot them and chase them, gun in hand. Perry's wife admitted Perry pointed the gun at the group and said she tried to calm him down and stop him, but noted he is a big man. She gave police the gun, a 9mm Taurus. Perry told police he'd heard someone banging on his window, saw some kids, and assumed they'd done it. According to the report, he said he grabbed his gun because the children's family approached him, but he denied pointing it at anyone or threatening anyone. Perry was arrested on suspicion of 6 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a second-degree felony punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. Perry, who Ector County Jail records show is 5'10" and 300 pounds, was released from custody Sunday after posting surety bonds totaling $120,000. Midlander accused of fleeing from police. A 19-year-old Midland man who was facing a traffic ticket for running a red light is now facing felony charges for fleeing from police, according to the Odessa Police Department. On Saturday, an officer saw a Dodge Charger go through a red light at East 8th Street and continue on to East Highway 80 around 10 p.m. According to an OPD report, the officer tried to pull the driver of the car over, but he sped up, moved to the shoulder of the highway, and then threw a yellow box out the passenger window. The driver sped back up, but then made a hard break and pulled over 8/10 of a mile from where the officer originally tried to pull him over, the report stated. Other officers retrieved a 12-pack of Twisted Tea, an alcoholic beverage, from the side of the road, and according to the report, the Charger's driver, Nicholas Moreno, told officers he thought having beer with him was a felony because he's underage and got scared. Moreno was arrested on suspicion of evading arrest and detention with a vehicle and tampering with physical evidence. Both are third-degree felonies, punishable by 2 to 10 years in prison. Moreno remains in Ector County Jail on a surety bond totaling $30,000. Teen arrested for evading police. An Odessa teenager who was driving without a license is now facing a felony charge after trying to evade an Odessa police officer, according to authorities. According to an Odessa Police Department report, an officer spotted a BMW 325i with a burned-out headlight traveling east on West Clement Street around 8 p.m. Friday. When the officer turned around to pull the car over, he said the driver turned off all of the car's lights as if attempting to conceal it. The driver then turned onto Charles Street and sped up when the officer turned on his lights and sirens, the report stated. The officer found the car parked in the 1500 block of Kneeling Street, and the driver, Jose Hugo Imbara, told him that he didn't stop for him because he didn't want a ticket for not having a driver's license. Ibarra, 17, was arrested on suspicion of evading arrest or detention with a motor vehicle, a third-degree felony punishable by a prison sentence of 2 to 10 years. Ibarra was released from the Ector County Jail Saturday after posting a $15,000 surety bond. Man arrested for drug possession. A 28-year-old Odessa man was arrested last week after a search of his home turned up more than 4,200 grams of an antihistamine, 5 pounds of marijuana, and 97 grams of THC wax. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers with the department's intelligence unit served a search warrant on Matthew Rodriguez's home in the 2700 block of Walnut Avenue, October 11th, after receiving information he was dealing drugs. In addition to the drugs, police found 3 guns in the home, including one that had been reported stolen to OPD, the report said. Because Rodriguez's home is within 1,000 feet of a park, Rodriguez was arrested on suspicion of 3 counts of manufacture or delivery of a controlled substance in a drug-free zone, 3 of marijuana in a drug-free zone, and a theft of a firearm. Ector County Jail show a judge set Rodriguez's bail at $166,500, and he was released to another unspecified agency. Man arrested in connection to robbery. High-speed pursuit. A 35-year-old robbery suspect was arrested by the Odessa Police Department Monday after a 30-minute high-speed pursuit that ended with the suspect crashing and being stunned with a stun gun. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers were looking for a stolen vehicle which they knew was occupied by robbery suspect Brace Jones. The officers found the Chevy Camaro in the 1900 block of West County Road and attempted to pull it over at gunpoint, but Jones evaded them and multiple officers from multiple agencies gave chase. The pursuit led to speeds of about 100 miles an hour through multiple areas of the city, the report stated. Texas Department of Public Safety troopers tried to get Jones to stop with a pit maneuver, which involved hitting the Camaro with a patrol unit, but he didn't stop. Ultimately, Jones crashed at a residence in the 1200 block of Lindbergh Avenue, causing property damage, the report said. Jones resisted arrest and was tased, the report said. Inside the vehicle, a police found a small amount of marijuana and drug paraphernalia, the report said. Jones was arrested on suspicion of evading in a motor vehicle, possession of marijuana, and resisting arrest. The evading charge is a third-degree felony punishable by 2 to 10 years in prison. Ector County jail records show he was also arrested on suspicion of aggravated robbery, a first-degree felony punishable by 5 years to life in prison. He's being held on surety bonds totaling $1,500 on the misdemeanor charges, but no bond has been set on the robbery and evading charges. Death notices today. The first is H. Dean Crow, who passed away on October the 15th, 2022. Cruz S. Moreno, 76 years old, died on October the 15th. And Ralph Edward Langston, age 96, passed away on October the 14th.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Health and Wellness for Wednesday, October 19th, 2022. Q&A. Survivor, Pink the Basin's president, shares her journey. You have to not be afraid to be afraid. 21 days set between Sheila Simmons' diagnosis and bilateral mastectomy. On April 8, 2014, doctors analyzed the ductal carcinoma in situ, abnormal cells inside a milk duct, after a typical mammogram, noticing the movement and aggression of the cells and ultimately informing the current Pink the Basin president. Although Simmons did not undergo any chemo or radiation, she rebuilt her body from the ground up, a process mentally, physically, and emotionally exhausting. However, without the bilateral mastectomy, the survivor's journey would not be the same. Because her cancer cells were triple negative, they didn't carry estrogen or progesterone receptors, nor made protein known as HER2. In layman terms, the cells stood incurable. Nevertheless, 8 years later, the marathon enthusiast proves every day her strength, determination, and capability to face life's hardest challenges with grace. Q. During your mammogram, did you ever worry or like something was going on? A. I have dense breast tissue, so I always got the letter that said, come in for more tests. I had even had other biopsies done because there were some spots the doctors didn't like, and the biopsies came back fine. But this time when I went back, it just felt different. I went into a room and they showed me a dark spot with all these little white dots in it. The doctor said he didn't like the spots and wanted a biopsy of it. It took 3 needles to get a good biopsy of tissue because they kept bending. He sent those off and a week later got a call, probably from the nurse navigator, and she said, quote, your samples came back clear. Go on and enjoy the rest of your life, end quote. 3 minutes later, my phone rang again, and she said, quote, the radiologist doesn't believe the test results. He wants you to go see a surgeon, end quote. That man saved my life. Q, what parts of your journey were the hardest? A, a lot of it's just the unknown. You're told by all these doctors what the next step is, but you have to walk into those appointments and let them do stuff to you. You're not in control. There were some things I had to have done right before my mastectomy, the sentinel node dye injection, and that's when I lost it. They inject this dye that immediately moves towards your sentinel lymph node. They want to know what the node is because they're going to take it because if cancer moved, it moved there first. They took everything that dye picked up on. It's very personal to go into surgery and have everything cut off. When I got home and looked at myself in the mirror, I spent a lot of time crying. I didn't look like me. They had to take everything. I can't even say I looked like a boy, just this weird alien thing. That was very difficult. A. Why was it so hard for you to talk about your story for so long? A. I have friends who have had cancer. My dad had cancer, but it's different when you are the one the doctor is looking at. You love all these people. They all love you and have their arms around you supporting, but you're ultimately the one that has to get through it to you. That's eye-opening. Q. What would be the biggest piece of advice to women currently dealing with the breast cancer process? A. Everybody's journey is so personal and what it takes to get through it. You have to not be afraid to be afraid. It's very scary. You don't know what's coming. I hadn't admitted it, but you can't push accepting. It's gonna happen. Your family needs you. Your friends need you. You have to make decisions so that you can be there for them. Go get the surgery, the chemo, some radiation. If you can't find a friend, go find a support group because they're there and will help you through it, really. Pink the Basin, Fast Facts. What is Pink the Basin? A nonprofit in Ector and Midland counties that generates funding to provide breast cancer screening and diagnostic services in the Permian Basin. This includes mammograms, ultrasounds, biopsies, and other breast cancer imaging tests. Pink the Basin's mission. The mission of Pink the Basin, Inc. is to raise awareness of women's health issues and foster educational and service initiatives that positively embrace women's health. Pink the Basin's vision. Ector County and Midland County reports show that 4 out of 5 women over 40 do not get a mammogram. Pink the Basin officials believe that low number is unacceptable. So through the generosity of West Texans who open their hearts and pocketbooks to women in need of services, but who either have no health care coverage or limited health insurance, mammography and diagnostic services made available. Pink the Basin contact information. Online, pinkthebasin.com. Phone 432-940-7465 or 432-557-3301. Email info@pinkthebasin.com. Address, Connection Center, 4241 Tanglewood Lane, Odessa, 79762. Support groups. New Beginnings Lunch and Learn. First Wednesday of each month at noon, held at the Hope House, 2006 West Tennessee Avenue. Contact Christy, 432-218-8714. Be Loved. Third Thursday of each month at 6 p.m., held at Faith Fellowship Church. Contact Penny Roberts, 432-556-1511. Group Counseling for Cancer Patients, last Tuesday of each month from 6 to 8 p.m. at West Texas Gifts of Hope in Odessa. Contact West Texas Gifts of Hope, 432-614-9284. Young Survivors Support Group. Saturday once a month at La Bodega or TBA. Contact Charles Rogers, 432-221-3220. CAPS Cancer Awareness and Prayer Support Group. Quarterly at noon, held at First Baptist Church. Contact Jana Boyd, 432-683-0653. The Young and the Breastless of Midland, every other Thursday at 11:30 a.m. at the Hope House. Contact Donna Cannon, 432-553-4685, or CANN0654@yahoo.com. Nutrition Class, Eating Well Through Cancer, third Thursday each month at noon, held at the Hope House. Contact Christy, 432-218-8714. Surviving Life Cancer Support Group, second Wednesday of each month at noon, held at the Hope House. Contact Christy, 432-218-8714. Caregiver Support Group, second and fourth Wednesday of each month at noon, held at Hospice of Midland. Contact Cindy Manley, 432-682-2855. Expressions, Your Journey with Cancer Through Art, fourth Wednesday every month from noon to 2 p.m. at the Hope House. Contact Christy, 432-218-8714. Events. For the remainder of October, every Wednesday, Pink the Basin Days will take place at Soft Suds Auto Spa. Money generated through car washes at the Midland and Odessa locations will be given to Pink the Basin. How to get help. For more information about mammograms and or diagnostic services, contact one of the providers below. Andrews, Permian Regional Medical Center Business Office, 720 Hospital Drive. To qualify for assistance, 432-464-2109. Big Spring, Scenic Mountain Medical Center Women's Center, 1601 West 11th Place, 432-264-0602. Midland, Midland Health, The Breast Center, 5615 Deauville Road, Suite 100, Charles Rogers Nurse Navigator, 432-221-3220. Jennifer Dumeyer, Nurse Navigator, 432-221-1189. Odessa, Medical Center Health System Family Health Clinic, Clements, 840 West Clements, 432-640-4860. Medical Center Health System Family Health Clinic, West University, 6030 West University, 432-640-6600. Odessa Regional Medical Center Women's Center, 420 East 6th Street, Suite 206, 432-582-8546, 432-582-8546. 8297. Pecos, Reeves County Hospital District. 2323 Texas Street. 432-447-3551, extension 5537. Young and the Breastless provides support for survivors. The Young and the Breastless of Midland, a support group for breast cancer survivors in the area, held its Pink Pumpkin Craft Lunch and Support Fundraiser event on October 6th at the Gifts of Hope headquarters. Linda Green, a 10-year cancer survivor who's a member of the group, said that when she was first diagnosed, she wasn't ready for a support group and didn't know what to expect. Quote, "I thought it might be a group of ladies sitting at a bunch of tables crying because they all had cancer," end quote, she said. Quote, "Well, that's the furthest thing from what is happening," end quote. She said there are members of the support group who are currently in or have been through each stage of their treatment. Quote, "They're there to encourage and lift you up and tell you you can do it," end quote, said Green, adding that members of the group can tell current patients what to expect during treatment, and the group encourages sisterhood. Quote, "If you know that at any time you can pick up the phone and call somebody that's been there and done that, they're there for whatever stage you are," end quote, Green said. She said her perspective on life has changed since receiving her diagnosis. Quote, "You know, the vacuum breaks, or the car has trouble, or this happens, and you're like, things are just not good. Then you come up here and you think, oh yeah, things are good. I am here. I'm with my family. I'm with my sisters, my pink sisters, as I like to call them," end quote, she commented. She went on to say each member of the Young and the Breastless views every day as a celebration. Jennifer Soto, a cancer survivor and member of the support group, said she would tell breast cancer survivors to come to one meeting and see what they think. Quote, "Everybody has a thought of maybe what a support group would be in terms of a bunch of people sitting around crying. Just a very different vibe than what actually goes on," end quote, she said. She added that the mental and emotional health assistance that the support group provides is vital for recovery. Quote, "You can talk about everything. If you've got a weird symptom and you're not sure what's going on, you can ask that here, and odds are someone has experienced it or can help you with it," end quote, she said. Clinton Dixon, executive director of Gifts of Hope, which has allowed the Young and the Breastless to use their headquarters to meet post-COVID, said the support group is a great way for patients and survivors to break isolation. Quote, "It's such a unique journey for a lot of these women," end quote, he said. Quote, "But to have other people who have gone through it kind of helps them move out of isolation, which is one of the biggest challenges for cancer patients, is feeling alone," end quote. The support group's lunch and fundraiser were one of many breast cancer awareness events in Midland during October. Breast cancer awareness events. Lunch and Learn, October 18th or 22nd. All Cancer Support Group, October 18th or 22nd. Nutrition, Eating Well Through Cancer, October 18th or 22nd. Expressions, Art of Healing, October 26th. YMCA Activities. Meta Thriver Breast Cancer Support Group, October 19th. And Yoga for Cancer Patients, October 18th or 22nd. How to spot your risk for breast cancer. While some causes of breast cancer, such as genetic causes, are unavoidable, there are some risk factors that are within our control. Dr. Julie Nangia, Associate Professor and Medical Director of Breast Oncology at the Dan L. Duncan Comprehensive Cancer Center at Baylor College of Medicine, explains steps you can take to lower your risk. Quote, "The strongest risk factors for breast cancer are things that we cannot change, such as a family history of cancer, dense breast tissue, and never having children," end quote, Nangia said. Quote, "Other risk factors are beginning menstruation at an early age, younger than 12, beginning menopause at a later age, drinking more than 3 alcoholic beverages per week, having a high body mass index above 25, and lack of exercise," end quote. In younger women, the biggest risk factor for developing breast cancer is hereditary cancer syndrome caused by mutations in genes like BRCA1 and BRCA2. Nangia leads a breast cancer prevention program at the Duncan Cancer Center for patients with a family history of breast cancer. Her team may advise genetic testing for hereditary cancer syndrome genes based on family history. Patients at high risk for developing cancer may be prescribed medications such as tamoxifen, a drug used to treat breast cancer that can also reduce the risk of developing cancer. Patients with lifetime risk of greater than 20% determined by risk models may also be advised to obtain yearly breast MRIs in addition to mammograms. lower risk with lifestyle changes. Studies show that lifestyle changes can prevent 20 to 30% of breast cancers, Nania said. Lifestyle factors that can help reduce your risk for cancer include staying within the normal body mass index range, 18.5 to 24.9, reducing alcohol use to 3 or fewer drinks per week, keeping a regular exercise schedule, such as walking 3 to 5 hours per week, and eating a balanced diet with plenty of fruits and vegetables. Some research shows that taking folic acid may help prevent breast cancer in women who drink alcohol. For new mothers, each year of breastfeeding adds protection against cancer, Nangia said. Quote, I'd encourage breastfeeding to women who are able to do so and are worried about their risk for breast cancer, end quote, Nangia said. Quote, we hear a lot about how good it is for babies, but it is very beneficial for moms as well, end quote. Breast cancer screening. Breast cancer is usually found either through a mammogram or the detection of a mass, Nangia said. Women with average risk for breast cancer should begin annual mammograms at age 40 to 50 after discussion with their doctors. Women with a family history of cancer should begin annual mammograms at age 40 or 10 years earlier than the age at which their first-degree relative was diagnosed with cancer, whichever is earlier. Nangia also recommends regular self-breast exams to stay on top of any changes in the breast. Quote, breast awareness is really important, end quote, Nangia said. Quote, you're looking for big changes like a lump or changes in the nipple or skin that don't go away after 2 weeks, end quote. Early detection is the key to curing more breast cancer and decreasing mortality rates. It is also critical to identify high-risk women so they can have more intensive screening with MRIs in addition to mammograms and be offered medications to reduce breast cancer risk, Nangia said.
Dear Dr. Roach, I am a 75-year-old female in so-so health. I believe my diet is pretty good, but I know I am not getting enough daily fiber. What is your opinion on fiber gummies as a supplement? I have been reading up on these, and they seem a good idea to me. I would appreciate your thoughts. Dr. Roach's answer is, fiber is my first choice for most people with diarrhea or constipation who otherwise have no gastrointestinal conditions. Fiber is safe and effective for both conditions for most people, especially when started slowly and taken with plenty of water. You can increase your fiber through diet. Whole grains, legumes, and fruits are among your best sources. But if you need a supplement, that's fine. Gummies are easier to take for many people than liquids or capsules. If you aren't having any problems, there's no need for you to supplement. Many studies have been done on supplementary fiber in healthy people, and they have not been successful in reducing cancer risk. A diet high in the foods I mentioned does not reduce colon and other cancer risks.
This is the Dear Abby column. Boyfriend less than thrilled with woman's spiritual advisor. Dear Abby, my longtime girlfriend has male friends who visit her during the day while I am gone for about a week each month. I know them. They are interesting people, and I'm okay with that. She now has a friend who is a faith-based healer, something she gravitates toward. He lives 3 hours away, and when he visits, he stays overnight. I met him recently. He's there now while I am 2 states away. He does hands-on healing with her and other people she introduces him to. He goes in the water every day of the year, and now my girlfriend does too, usually very early in the morning. Presumably, they do this together while I am away. Maybe he goes in naked. She would consider that natural. She told me not to worry about the overnights and the hands-on healing, because he is a man of God. I told her it doesn't make any difference. He is divorced and single. Am I being a dope to let this happen without making a strong objection? Signed, Mystified in Maine. Dear Mystified, because this woman is your long-time girlfriend, you have the rights to make your feelings about the arrangement known. If you weren't comfortable with the idea of her entertaining a divorced single man overnight in your absence, you should have said so from the beginning. Whether the two of them are sexually involved is beside the point. If she cares about your feelings, she should respect them. However, if she doesn't, then it may be time for you to find another girlfriend. Dear Abby, my ex-husband and I met in 2006 and had a beautiful daughter in 2007, married in 2010, and divorced in 2013. He was honest with me about being a recovering addict, drugs and alcohol, when we met. Our first few years together were great. However, he fell off the wagon after the wedding and started using drugs and drinking again. It quickly spiraled out of control, and I refused to raise our young daughter in that environment. He continued in his addiction for 7 years after our divorce. He became clean and sober again in 2019, has rekindled his strained relationship with our daughter, and is attempting to rekindle ours as well. We are currently co-parenting and call each other friends, but he wants more. I have forgiven him for the past hurt and betrayals, but I can't forget the pain. I can't help but be afraid that if I let him back into my life romantically, history will repeat itself. Should I let go of the past and give him another chance, or continue to co-parent and keep him in the friend zone? Signed, Forgiven, but Not Forgotten. Dear Forgiven, I suggest you attend some meetings of Naranon, naranon.org, an organization founded to help friends and family affected by someone else's addiction. If you do, it will give you added insight. Addicts in recovery have been known to fall off the wagon, as you well know. My question for you is, are you strong enough to go through it again should the need arise? No one else can answer that question for you. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.